everybody. Welcome to another On the Front Lines with Christy Hutcherson. I am so thrilled today to be with you. My goodness, I have been traveling. I've been in the trenches. I've been out in the field, working the border as always, also working some intelligence and different things to bring you guys the truth. You're going to not want to miss, you're going to want to catch next Sunday's show because I'm going to have some updates of what's really going on from the intelligence perspective and how the enemy is at our gates literally and infiltrating the United States of America. So I'm really excited to bring you that. But today I want to talk to you about, again, your wallet. Your wallet is so important, America. We have the power to either fund or take away those who are literally funding the demise of our great country called America. So through your wallets, you need to fund patriot companies who build and manufacture their products here, who support pro-life agendas, who support the Constitution, who support our military men and women and our first responders. One of those companies is called Patriot Mobile. You know, I met Glenn Story. He's the CEO of Patriot Mobile. He's just this incredible man. We hit it off right away. He's from, he lives in Texas. And because I don't just like endorse companies. It's not something that I like to do unless I know for a fact, number one, it's America first product. Everything is manufactured and done here, even the call centers. I also need to understand where the funds are going to go and where they donate their money, because that's really important, right? And this guy is incredible. He has four pillars, and I urge you to go to their Patriot Mobile website. It's www.patriotmobile.com/WFFA. If you use WFFA promo code, you will get free activation. This phone is where all of the patriots are now making their phone calls. It works everywhere. It works just like AT&T and Verizon. You're not going to skip a beat. You're not going to not be able to have your internet and your Wi-Fi access. You're not going to be driving down a rural road and not have access to your cell phone service. It's incredible. Even in Africa, it works. So please, please stop funding companies that don't love our country. Go to patriotmobile.com, WFFA. Use that promo code. Make the switch. Another one, Patriot Switch is another incredible company. PatriotSwitch.com, use promo code WFFA. MyPillow.com, again, Mike Lindell is an incredible patriot. I've been blessed. I know Mike. I spent time with him. I talk all over the country sometimes with him. He's an incredible man who has sacrificed so much for you, the American people, to try to uncover the election fraud that is going on. And he funds so much of this movement that you don't even get to see, that is actually supporting and defending and protecting the Constitution and your liberties and your freedoms. So at least you can do is go to mypillow.com, use promo code WFFA and buy some products. And lastly, thank you, Bridie on TV. Bridie on TV is the one who hosts me. Bridie on TV, without them, I couldn't speak truth. I couldn't be out here telling you what's really going on. So Bridie on TV, again, promo code WFFA. They have Bridie on store. When you purchase from these companies, it supports freedom and liberty. You're not just buying a product, you're actually defending and protecting the Constitution of the United States of America. Not all of us are called to be in the field, but you can stay in your living room and you can be a part of the solution to protect and defend this great country by just buying these products. Patriot Switch, also patriotswitch.com, promo code WFFA, promo code WFFA. Actually, go to our website, Women Fighting for America, WFFA.win, Women Fighting for America. Sign up, volunteer, get involved. I'm going to ask and challenge America right now for a couple things, because we're at a critical mass. We need funding. Women Fighting for America needs funding to continue the fight and be on the front lines. I'm going to challenge everybody to donate $5 a month. $5 a month. I'm not asking a lot from you. If you can afford more, please, please, we need partners. We desperately need partners who can do more money. But $5 a month, commit to being a monthly partner, because we're partners in the fight to save this country. You know, I had Tom Rentz on last week. And I'm telling you, you need to go back and watch that interview, because it was pretty moving. And, you know, we're out here freedom fighting and at great sacrifice, personal finances, everything. But we do it because we love this country. We would rather fight and go down with nothing than to live under tyranny. So, America, will you stand up, join us, be partners with us, donate $5 a month. And if you can donate more, please do so. And lastly, we're going to be doing an Action Across America tour because I listened and I heard you, the American people. You want action. You know, it's great to go to all of these conferences, the Reawaken America tour, the Term in Patriotism. They're all great, but there's no action. So we heard you, Mel Kay, Ann Vandersteel, Dr. Jane Ruby, myself, and we'll have guest trainers. And I'm saying guest trainers, not speakers. Like Tom Renz, General Flynn, military guys like Lieutenant Pete Chambers, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, and others who are going to spend a full day with you, the American people, in your town and your cities. We're going to roll up our sleeves with you on a 12-hour intense training day where we're going to actually give you the tools that you need to take back this country, to geofence your home, your neighborhoods, your communities. We're going to activate you. We're going to identify who the leaders are. We're going to identify your skill sets. We're going to come alongside of you and partner with you every step of the way. We even have a post team that's going to stay with you afterwards. Follow up, create this incredible network of patriots across this country to stand at the ready. Will you join us on the Action Across America tour? If you're interested in this training program and you want to know where our locations are, we're going to be launching that website this week. But for right now, I need you to go to our website, Women Fighting for America. That's WFFA.win. I need you to sign up and then I need you to email us. This is key. We can't, you know, bring you, we can bring you to the water, but we can't make you drink. So we need you to email us and say, I want training. Tell us where you're from, what city, and then we'll be able to send you an email or a text message. If you give us your phone number, we will send you the information and the everything that you need. The Eventbrite tickets are up. It's called Action Across America. If you go to Eventbrite, you'll be able to buy tickets starting later on today. God bless you guys. And now I am so excited about this young man. I'm going to bring him on. Kevin Sorbo, if anybody, he probably hears this all the time. His dad is Kevin Sorbo. And he probably is like, if I had a dime for every time somebody said Hercules, my dad was Hercules. That dates me, by the way, in the 90s, because Sheena, Princess Warrior, and your dad, Hercules, you know, I used to watch it all the time. So his dad is none other than Kevin Sorbo. He's not only an incredible Christian man, but he's a great actor. And he's also done things like Left Behind series, God's Not Dead. And I thought that his role in God's Not Dead as a professor was incredible. But he also does a lot of other films. His mother is Sam Sorbo. She's an incredible patriot. I think she was an actress as well, but I know her as an education fighter. She really fights for the children's education and to get them out of the public little propagated school systems where they're turning out these anti-American children. So this is their son and Brayden, and I'm so glad to have you here. Brayden, you are incredible. So thank you.
I know.
I've had the pleasure, so I'm going to tell the audience, and you couldn't remember, now you're going to remember after I tell you this. So I'm going to tell you guys, the first time I ever met in person Kevin, Sam, and yourself, it was about, oh my God, was it about 4 or 5 years ago now? I think you were still in high school.
Probably.
And I remember because you're so tall, right? And I even have a photograph of you and me and your mom and dad and everything at this event. So we were in Washington, D.C., because again, I used to work in D.C. So we were in Washington, D.C., and my husband and I know your family, we were a donor, and we were sitting at one of the donors' tables, and it was for the Hosea Initiative, which is pro-life. And that's where I first met you. And I was so impressed with you back then. You were so articulate. You knew exactly what you wanted to do. And of course, because you know, you look at the parents, so you kind of know that you're going to be this incredible young man. And so fast forward, then on the Reawaken America, your mom and your dad's paths and I always cross back and forth. And I've just got the opportunity to really hear what you have going on. And in a time and age where your age group is so confused and so messed up because of all of the garbage that you've had to deal with in the school systems. I think it's incredible what you're doing. And you have a book out and it's called The BS Guide to Politics. I love the name, The BS Guide to Politics.
Yeah, of course.
Brayden, without further ado, I want you to tell my audience a little bit about who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and what projects you're working on.
Okay, quick elevator pitch. Love it. So my name is Brayden Sorbo. The BS Guide for Politics, the BS stands for Brayden Sorbo, obviously. I'm not sure what anyone else could think it means. But it's Understanding Current Events Through Sarcasm. It's a book I wrote when I graduated high school. I was homeschooled from second grade all the way through graduation. And I had always wanted to be an actor ever since, you know, I was 10 years old. My parents were both against it because being from Hollywood, they understand how toxic and how dangerous the environment is. And so after, you know, a year of pleading with them, I finally convinced them to sign me up for acting classes. Got to work with Erica Laniak from, she was from Baywatch, and she was in the Under Siege movie with Gary Busey and a bunch of other stuff. She was the head teacher at Antonio Sabato Jr.'s acting class in my little town of Thousand Oaks, California, where I grew up. And so it wasn't until, I want to say, my 15th birthday when I got my first acting job, which was for the movie Let There Be Light, a Christmas family drama kind of movie directed or funded by Sean Hannity, actually. It was written by my mom, who, as you mentioned, is an actress, but she's also a writer and an educator and, you know, a bunch of other things. I mean, I can't even begin to cover that list. It's longer than a receipt from CVS, that's what I like to say. But I got my acting break at 15. And since then, I've just been slowly working in more and more projects. I did 4 movies last year. I have another 2 and the pilot for a TV show presumably lined up to film later this year, which I'm very excited about. And
what TV show? Can we have, what's the name of the TV show?
I can't say anything yet.
You
I'm not allowed to.
It.
It's not out yet. It doesn't exist. It's being written.
It's not even a pilot yet.
Mm-hmm. But I'm working on a teen drama that's going to be brought to film festivals called I'm Okay. And it's a pretty heavy movie. I get to play the comedic relief, thankfully. And so I'm really excited about that one I just signed. And that starts in August. I worked with the people who wrote that and are filming it. It were for about 2 movies, I want to say, last year. They were the camera crew. It's a husband and wife couple out of Tampa, and they're awesome. I love those guys. And so I'm excited to work with them again.
Oh, that's so exciting. So how do you like the acting business? What are you seeing? It sounds like you do a lot of, which I love that, is the Christian movies, wholesome family movies, which is incredible. But what is your take on what you've seen in the Hollywood world?
It's eerily similar to what we see with social media, and that is, it is a sphere of dense, dark hatred, right? That's it. It's all-encompassing. Once you're in it, it's very hard to get out, and if you get deep enough in it, you'll get stuck. It's angry, it's disgusting, it is perverted, it's vile, and it is incredibly dangerous. And so as someone, I mean, I started TikTok when I was 19 years old after graduating high school. And to date, I'm at around 2 million followers, which is great. You know, I absolutely love that. And I've been blessed to grow my account and my name to stand out from the crowd, as I like to say. But it's also a double-edged sword, because as great as it is to have a following, it is just as dangerous to be on an app like TikTok and to be, you know, in the social media realm, because you are surrounded on all fronts by these perversions, right? You go on TikTok and you'll see sexual deviancy, you'll see immorality, and you'll see these terrible things that are being promoted. And you have to remember, you know, I'm 21. I'm old enough to look at something like that and go, yeah, that's not for me. But a 13-year-old boy isn't, you know. And that is one of the biggest factors in my entire, you know, presentation. When we were texting, you said, what do I like to cover? And one of the things I talk about is masculinity, because it's under attack right now. You know, there's so many men out there dealing with addiction, with pornography, with addiction with women, or drinking, or drugs, or whatever it may be, video games. There are addictions out there, and too much of anything is a bad thing, right? And so there's a lot of problems with kids discovering little bits and pieces on social media apps like TikTok, and the curiosity builds from there, and it leads to something that completely demoralizes them and essentially pacifies them. Because the way that society's worked in the history of the world is you have different types of patriarchs that rule. You have the ones that try to harness the power of the men that they they're ruling over, right? So that they can build and grow and grow. And they're the patriarchs that make everyone feel heard, that help grow the society, that help expand, that bring peace and justice and light and goodness into it. And then you have the ones that are similar to the Pharaoh in Egypt in the time of Moses, who wasn't able to pacify the Israelites by work. He wasn't able to subdue them and hold them down, so he had them killed. And so right now we're in a time where the pacification of men is not throwing the baby boys into the river, but it is feeding them an endless supply of content, bread and circuses, to essentially lower and drop not only testosterone levels, but dopamine and morale overall. And so a lot of men right now are struggling with this problem. And so being in the realm of Hollywood and being in the realm of social media, I'm seeing it as an incredibly dangerous thing that's sort of engulfing this generation and the ones before it.
Yeah, Braden, so let me ask you this. If you were a parent, you know, my audience is typically a little bit older, and they have either grandchildren or children for the most part. What would you, because from your perspective, from your lens at 21 years of age, when you were 13, 14, 15, 16, you know, I think there's a lot of parents now who, I wasn't one of them, but you know, there's a lot of parents who are very uncomfortable approaching the subject with their young men. And so I was very candid with my boys. My boys grew up in a home where nothing was off the table. We would sit down. I'm a firm believer that minimum, I don't care how busy your schedules are, you know, my boys played sports. They played numerous sports. It was every single night, a week, football, whatever, running, run, run. But one of the things that I made doggone well sure was that we had minimum of 3 to 4 nights a week where we sat down around the dinner table. And it didn't matter if it was late at night or not. It wasn't fast food restaurants. That's not what we did. My boys did not grow up on fast food. We actually had a meal. And so we talked about everything openly, and we made it very clear that nothing was off the table. There was no judgment in this zone, because I think it's really important that when you have open dialogue with your child and you ask them questions about their day, you know, what were they learning? What happened in the classroom? What's going on with your peers? Is there anything that you want to talk about? You know, is there something uncomfortable that happened? And I think that that's so important, and parents don't know where to begin. So from your perspective at 21, put yourself back about 3-4 years ago. And what advice can you give to some people out there, parents or grandparents, who want to talk, but they don't know how to approach them in a way that's non-threatening or that would be perceived as, because I think if you push, you know, some of the resistance is back. So how can they engage in a conversation?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because the natural instinct, you know, people say, oh, teenagers rebel, teenagers do this, they do that. They don't. Teenagers rebel when schools and their other peers tell them that's what they're supposed to do, right? And so the first step in connecting is pulling your kids out of the public school system, right? My mom is a big proponent of homeschooling. I'm a big proponent of homeschooling. I am a firm believer. When I have kids, I plan on homeschooling every single one of them. I don't plan on giving them access to electronics. I don't plan on giving them the access to the internet, because I know how dangerous it is. I was 8 years old when I discovered porn, and I hid that from my parents until I was about 18. And it doesn't matter at that point, oh, you know, there's a loving relationship here, there's trust, there's this, there are all of these different things that I could, you know, come to them and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. There is a fear that is instilled into children that your parents will judge you for what you're doing. Don't go to them, come to me instead. And the school system teaches you to avoid talking to your parents. Now, I was homeschooled, but up until second grade, I was in public school, because that's just what you did. My mom was in public school, so she thought, put them back into the system. It wasn't until the teacher came to her, and actually it wasn't until she asked the teacher how my book reports were, and the teacher goes, oh, not good at all, that she started to wonder, why wouldn't she have told me right away? How long has this been going on? And so she started doing book reports with me, and through that realized that she was essentially homeschooling. And it was from that point forward where she pulled me out, and we did that. Now, our relationship today is great. Both my parents, we all have a wonderful relationship, but it is very difficult. Even if you're 10 years old, you know, in first, second, third grade, when you first discover something bad, because it is so easily discovered. And back when I was 8, you know, 13 years ago, the internet was the Wild West. It's more streamlined now than it was back when I was a little kid. It is even more dangerous now, and that's a big proponent of what I talk about, to young men specifically, but to adults. I heavily struggled with an addiction, and it wasn't, you know, a moment of clarity where I came to, I was like, oh, you know, I prayed and I was like, oh, I need help with this. I need help with this. It was a matter of noticing everything else around me and going, I'm a man and this is not manly. This is not masculine to do. And I've noticed, and I've talked with a lot of my friends about it who struggle as well, because it's so normal now for people to just do that, that it completely destroys your ability to feel love and to give proper love, right? And so there's so many guys that go, well, yeah, I'm a week off or whatever. And I tell them, don't count the days. Because if you try to count the days, your brain, the bad part of your brain that's addicted, will rationalize and say, oh, it's only been a month. We're good to go again because we've done it this far. So yeah. Every day I tell people, when you wake up, doesn't matter what you're quitting, whether it's drugs or it's drinking or it's pornography or it's going out. Maybe you should go to sleep earlier. Maybe you should be working out. Every single day, you do not count the past days. There's a verse in the Bible, Matthew 6:34, which is my life verse. And it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for each day comes with its own consequences and trials. And it's basically God saying, relax, stop stressing about the past, stop stressing about tomorrow, worry about today, because today
is what you have control over. I mean, that's what the devil, though, that I you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Brayden, because that's what the devil wants to do. He's the great accuser, because if he can constantly make you feel less of a person because of the past sins of your life, it basically makes you catatonic, so to speak, where you can't do what you're called to do, what your purpose is. It keeps you immobilized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody has sinned. I don't care who you are. We all have our secret, dirty little secrets, right? Because that's just natural. I have twin boys, and they're a little bit older than you, but not much. And pretty much, especially in today's day and age with the internet, and especially with the transgender movement, the pedophile movement, they are literally putting filth and porn basically in our school systems all the way into kindergarten. So they're grooming our next generation, which is absolutely vile, disgusting, and evil. And so when you look at that, you know that children as young as literally kindergarten, they are probably engaging or are having and seeing some type of sexual immorality. And it does, from a visual perspective, it draws you in. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a good support system that you know that you can go to and not be judged, and that's your parents, that it really does start with at home with your mom and dad, and if you don't have a mom and dad, an aunt, a good friend, a friend's parent, somebody, you need to find that person who does not judge and can love you, because we've all fallen short. You know, God, I'm a Christian as you are. You know, Jesus Christ, when he said it was finished on the cross, he didn't mean it was half finished. He finished it all. That means everything that you did in the past was laid to rest in the pits of hell, and he took on it. And when he emerged, you are a new creation in Christ. And so, you know, even my boys right now, it's a constant struggle with pornography. It's a constant struggle because you see that constantly in this world tells you that that's okay and that it's normal, and it's really not. And so I commend you for that. And so I would really encourage right now, parents out there, or grandparents out there, if you're aunts, uncles, whoever you are, you know, the most important thing you can do is to build a relationship with your children and communicate and talk to them, because believe me, they're talking to somebody, and you don't want them talking to others. You want them to get the facts and information from you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, you have kindergartners there where they're being told, just don't tell your parents. I'm the person you can come to if there's a problem, but your parents, they wouldn't understand. They're not as gracious and as you know, understanding as me. So no, there's no need to bring it to them. They'll judge you. They'll hate you for this. And so from a very early age right now, it is being instilled in our kids that the parents are no longer the safeguard, that the government is the safeguard. The White House tweeted something yesterday about trans rights and said, it's time to protect our kids. They're not your kids. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. A lot of people are willing to send their kids.
That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people just send their kids into the system, a system that says you are ours, right? The phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. No, it takes a dedicated parent, a husband and wife working together to raise a child. That's what it takes.
100%. Very well said. C21. Look at that wisdom. I was actually on Alex Stone's show the other day. He was interviewing me, and he was being interviewed. He was telling me this story, and this one woman he was interviewing. It was a really good interview, and he was interviewing Doug Billings. And one of the audience members texted while he was on the air, chatted, and she's like, well, no one's going to listen. I'm not taking advice from a 19-year-old. You know, that is sad to me that that was the her mentality go-to, because I'm going to tell you again, my 23-year-old boys, I every day learn something new from them. They are incredible wealth of information. I'm a different generation. I'm probably more your mom and dad's age. And so we can, I mean, listen to how articulate you are. Your lens of what your experiences are and what you've been through. I mean, you've written a book, The BS Guide to Politics. You know, you talk about, you know, your addiction. These things are, you know, most grown adults don't even do or talk about or are brave enough to do so. And so I think that that's such a sad thing. We can learn so much from the next generation. And it's people like you who give me hope, quite frankly, that we are going to be able to save our country and have some kind of morality and liberty and freedom after we're all gone, you know, because isn't that what we're doing? We're preserving for the next generation. So let's shift a little bit and let's talk about your BS guide to politics. Can you tell us a little bit about why did you decide to write this book? What was your inspiration? And yeah.
So, okay. I graduated high school and we were living in Long Island, New York. Just it was a 6-month span that we were there. And I graduated and I had a scholarship to go to Liberty University to study entrepreneurship with a minor in communications. And I was talking to my mom and she said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "I want to be an actor." She goes, "Braden, you don't need to go into debt to learn how to stand in front of a camera and say lines. That's not a requirement for acting. You don't need to go to college to pursue it." And so I said, "Okay, what should I do instead?" She said, "If you aren't going to go to college, you should do something with your time. You like writing. Why don't you write a book?" Because all through my 4 years of high school, I did competitive speech and debate. And so I wrote, you know, dozens of different speeches on different topics. And that is my passion. I am terrible at math and calculus and geometry and everything. Numbers don't like me. I try to like them, but, you know, they reject me. And I've always been a big history and writing nerd. So I sat down and I was just racking my brain. What should I write about? And then it came to me. A lot of my speeches during my competitive speech and debate years were sarcastic by nature. They were comedic, and the intent was to shed a humorous light on an otherwise typically darker setting. And so I decided, what's the darkest possible setting I could think of? Politics. And what do? I do comedy. And so I wrote a comedic, sarcastic dictionary that essentially is an introductory tool for people to get involved in politics in the most lighthearted way possible, where you're still learning, you're still engaging, and you're still understanding and growing, but it is not nearly as demanding or judgmental as the typical political sphere. Because what happens right now is we have a lot of people, just in general, when people don't know what they're talking about, people become afraid to ask, right? The teacher goes, "Anyone have any questions?" And no one raises their hand because they're afraid to, you know, make it look like everyone's gonna think you're stupid if you raise your hand. Yeah. And so this is essentially the guide that people are using to introduce themselves into the realm of political dialogue and what exactly that means. I mean, I had some great people working on this with me. Brandon Tatum, the Officer Tatum, wrote the foreword. I have endorsements from DC Drano, Rogan O'Handley, if you know who that is. Mike Lindell actually endorsed me, Governor Mike Huckabee, and Andrew Klavan from the Daily Wire. So I was blessed to work with amazing people.
Let's see the cover of that book.
There's the cover, The BS Guide to Politics.
Love that. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to open it up and just read randomly out of there.
Let's do it. Conservative. That'll be my definition. A conservative is someone who holds traditional values and attitudes about change and innovation. A conservative stays true to his country. Conservatives have been found to believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They wish to keep America within the boundaries of said rules. Some side effects of conservatism may include brains, knowledge, reasoning, love, passion for your country, passion for Christ, love of capitalism, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, and love for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Ask your politician if being conservative is right for you.
That's really good. No, all right, we got to go another one.
Give us another one. Oh gosh.
Randomly
All
open it
right.
up. Come on.
You're putting me on the spot.
What is a liberal? Do you have
I'm gonna go
liberal?
to S. I have social justice warrior, actually.
There we go.
Social justice warrior, or SJW, is the term given to people who aggressively promote feminism, multiculturalism, and identity politics, among other things. These people are angry, loud people who still live with their parents. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with SJW disorder, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Just kidding, nothing is free, nobody owes you anything.
That's good. That's good. All right, you're gonna have to sign a copy and get it to me. I can't wait to read that.
I would love to.
Yeah, everybody out there, please go get the BS Guide to Politics by Braden Sorbo. Where can they find that?
They can go to sorbostudios.com. It's looking like it's popping up right there. They can go there. They can order an autographed copy by yours truly. I also am launching my newest line of clothing. This is one of the designs here, Take Steroids, and it is called the Embrace Masculinity design because we need to bring back traditional masculinity. So I have one comedic shirt, and then I have one shirt which says Embrace Masculinity, and it has a really cool design. I've been working forever to try to get it right, and I'm so happy with how it turned out. That will be out at the end of this month on Sorbo Studios.
So, define masculinity from your lens.
The masculinity okay. I love this question. This is probably one of my favorite things. I was actually talking about it with my sister yesterday on the way back from the gym, and we were discussing some events that have happened recently in my personal life. And I said, yeah, what this person did to me wasn't traditionally masculine, because people often think of masculinity as, big muscles and working out and a mustache and grilling steaks and everything. And yes, that is stuff that men do. But traditional masculinity is, at its core, responsibility. And it's responsibility not only for yourself but for other people. Right? It is the essence of being a protector. And my sister said, okay, well then, can women not be like, does that make women who are responsible masculine? And it was a great question, because the difference between masculinity and femininity is how the responsibilities are divided, right? Because God made us, He took the rib of Adam. He didn't take a piece from the head. He didn't take something from the foot. He put it at the rib so that they would be equal. They wouldn't be one above the other. And so the masculine responsibilities that a man has are protection and accountability for himself and for the people that he loves. And the responsible femininity that a woman has is the nurturing and the caring and the loving of those that she feels safe under. And so the man's duty is to protect and to provide for, and it is a woman's duty to take that protection and to grow it. And so they work complementary as opposed to against each other.
That was so beautifully said. So, you know what? You can always learn. That was an incredible picture, I think, of what it means to work in collaboration as a team, male and female. You know, my boys, I'll share a story with you. This was really interesting. So, 2016, the presidential election, Donald Trump became the president of the United States. Well, we were invited to his inauguration. And so we went to the inauguration. The boys were in 10th grade at the time, 10th or 11th, I think. They were, because they were 16. And it was such an interesting picture. So the night before, we work in DC, so we have a place there, but we didn't stay at our place in Alexandria because it was going to be hectic. It was going to be very difficult to get into the city. As you know, you've been to DC. So we're staying at the Marriott there on Pennsylvania Avenue. And the night before the inauguration, we went out to dinner. And on our way back from dinner, that was when BLM and Antifa were having, you want to talk about the real insurrection? That night was the real insurrection. And they had BLM and Antifa. They were burning down the city. There were literally fires in the street. We were walking back by behind where the press building is. And there was fires burning and these young men, and I'm stomping out the fire and we're engaging. And then the next day was this incredible patriot event within the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. And the contrast was so incredible. And then the Saturday after the inauguration, the very next day, there was, I call it the pink hat crazies, right? The now, the women, the feminist movement, right? And I don't mean to be disgusting, but literally they had like the bloody vaginas and their children dressed up as vaginas. It was disgusting. And there were hundreds of thousands of them descending on DC. So much so, and we weren't wearing anything that was Trump or anything like that. We just wanted to walk around the Capitol because the first time in 8 years, we were actually proud to be an American again because we had freedom and constitutional values and morality back into the White House. And my boys were attacked by these women. They didn't, like I said, they weren't wearing anything, but they were attacked by these women. And my boys don't really say a whole lot. I asked them about it and they were kind of silent. We went home and back to our house in Florida. And we were having a conversation a couple weeks later at the dinner table. And it was then when they brought that up and they said, you know, we've been thinking about this. And they're like, Mom, I don't care how good looking the woman is. If this is what her philosophy is, and this is what she buys into, because it's so anti-man. It was just disgusting. So what are your thoughts on that, with that whole movement and that story?
My current girlfriend, and to put this into perspective, I haven't dated anyone before. I have, you know, there's the stage where you first meet someone and you talk to them for a week or so, and then you can, you know, figure it out from there. But I haven't found anyone that was worth dating. And my current girlfriend, when I first met her, was in the independent girl boss, doesn't need a man, you know, like she hates all men, that kind of thing. Not to the extent of going to rallies like that. She's Christian and she's conservative. She wasn't, you know, pro-choice and pro-shots and all this stuff. She was just in the sense that I'm strong and independent and I don't need anyone because I'm so strong and independent. And we're closing, I met her back in January and we're closing in on a few months now, and it took me a while. And she keeps asking me, or she doesn't do it anymore, but she kept asking me why I didn't give up fighting, why I didn't give up this. And frankly, it was because I kept praying about it. And I'm a firm believer in what you're not looking for will come find you. And I was on the mindset of, fine, I'll just, you know, I'll back off. I won't worry about this. I won't try. And then all of a sudden I meet her and God just kept giving me, all right, this is the girl that you're going to, this is the person I'm putting in your path. So what are you going to do about it? And so there are plenty of, you know, standards that a man should hold himself to, mm-hmm. right? But he can only hold himself to those, or he can only hold, you know, the partner that he is going to have to those standards if he himself is held to them, right? And so I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go to parties, I don't go to clubs. My extent of going out is a line dancing bar. I do country swing dancing. And
I love that.
I told her that about a month into talking with her, because, you know, she kept arguing with me over this. I said, look, I don't have female friends. I'm not going to call up, hey, Lindsay, you want to go get lunch today? Like, hey, you want to go to the beach? I'm not going to do that. It's not appropriate. Because friends of the opposite sex, there's a famous Robin Williams quote. It says, men have two heads and only enough blood to think with one of them. And when I met her, she didn't understand that. She couldn't figure it out. And now we went line dancing and country dancing yesterday. And this guy came up, who's usually a friend of both of us that she knew before me. He saw me, made eye contact with me, didn't come up to us. But when she went to the bar to go get water, he came over and said, hey, you come here often, and tried to make a joke. And she came back to me and she goes, I really understand where you're coming from now. And so there's certain standards that men should hold themselves to. And you can only find a woman that is going to match those standards, or match the standards that you want, if you yourself meet them, right? And so when you meet any woman, I say to all young guys out there, the most important thing to do is to, one, be above reproach, but two, tell them and say, look, this is what I'm looking for. I will not settle for this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not saying you have to do this right now, right immediately, because, you know, you never know with the person, but I will say, over the course of the next month or week or whatever, you are going to see in my actions how I portray myself, how I view myself, and the standard I hold myself to. And it will not be, you know, a dig at you if you cannot match that. If you simply say it's too much for you, that is fine. This is not an ultimatum. This is not a choose me or him. This is not do X, Y, and Z for me. This is, I will hold myself to this standard. If you match that, we will work. If you do not, I will happily leave. There is no threat, no anything there. It is simply how I will hold myself, because I am a godly man and I will not settle for anyone other than a godly woman.
Yeah, you know, Braden, you bring a really good point up, because I talk to both my boys all the time, and my one son, Benjamin, and I were just literally having this conversation. I love it. They got to move to Naples because of their job, and so in the area where I live. And so I was so thrilled, because, you know, we get to have these conversations, and he was telling me, he's like, Mom, you don't understand. The dating world is so hard. So many of the girls out there, they don't know who they are. And when I say that, it's like their identity is because they think that the Kardashians are the way that they need to act and be. And he said, Mom, it's so hard to find a woman that we can actually date that doesn't, you know, bow down to the selfie idol of self and have these incredible, you know, pictures that are compromising or they don't look, you know, right. And, you know, it is tough out there for you guys. And it's both ways, by the way. I think really young women, I think who are trying to be pure and who are trying to do the right thing and live morally and find a really good guy out there, right? A masculine guy who believes in God and who's going to treat them well. It goes both ways. And so I really, my heart weeps for you guys right now, because it's just so tough out there. You know, and you do have to just pray and say, you know what, God, are you going to bring me, who are you going to bring in my path? And I love the fact Ben does the same thing. He went out on a date the other day and, you know, he knows pretty much right off the bat. He's like, you know what, Mom, I'll honor her. I'm going to pay for the meal. But he says, I know within a few minutes whether or not this is going to morally work out for me if we're going to be equally yoked. And he said, I still treat her with respect, of course, but then I just want to be maybe friends and we'll move on because it's just not going to work. So I commend you. That is what we need to do, right? Dating is important because that's how you find out, you know, if you like each other or not. But I love the fact that you have your standards before you go in. These are non-deal, you know, this is, I'm not going to break this, right? This is the deal breaker for me. And if you can't do this, it's nothing against you. It's just, we're not compatible, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that.
Well, when I first met her, you know, I met her at the country dancing, at the line dancing bar. And I was swing dancing with anyone who was willing to dance because I was just getting into it and I really wanted to learn. And so practice, practice, practice. It wasn't until I saw her swing dance with someone else and I went, wait, hold on. Wait, no, that's not appropriate. Wait, it's definitely flirting. And we had a conversation about it and, you know, we went back and forth and now we only dance with each other. We don't, you know, there's no looking at other people. There's no any of that. It's just, we're focused on each other and that's all that matters. And it shows, people will show you in their actions how they are, because words are one thing, but how you act is an entirely different manner. And so every day, it's just like with quitting an addiction. Every day you wake up and you say, okay, I am choosing that I won't do this today. I'm choosing that I will do this. And that's what people don't understand. So many people in my generation believe in the Greco-Roman myth of love, the Romeo-Juliet. You fall in love and it's just perfect and everything goes every way you want it to. That's not how it works. You have to wake up every single day and say, this is my person. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to prove that I care and love about them. And that's the end of story. There's no jokes about divorce. When I told this girl, I said, I will not make a joke about divorce. I won't even mention the word because it's not happening. That will not happen in my relationship. I won't make jokes about breaking up because I'm a firm believer. Comedy is truth with a twist. So every joke that you hear has a bit of truth in it, whether it's raunchy or sexual or whatever it may be, there is a hint of truth. And so joking about breaking up, when people go, oh, well, let me go ask the old ball and chain, she'll probably dump me for this. That's a joke, yet you're still bringing that into your life. And so I told her I won't do that. And, you know,
something inside of you is making you say that, because there's something in you that you know, marriage takes work, relationships, whether you're married or not, relationships take work. And it's not easy. It's a lot of hard work. And both of you have to try. And you both have to go into it thinking, okay, every day it's a conscious decision that I'm going to love this person, that I'm going to respect this person, mm-hmm. that I'm going to lift this person up. You know, it's hard enough out there in the world. And there's so many wolves and they want to cut you down and try to make you look bad to make themselves look better. And the one person that you need to be able to really rest in and is your champion, right? You need to be each other's champion. And I love that. You know, it is. It's hard work. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many divorces, is because this world tells you, you know, oh, well, you know, it's just a throwaway society. If it doesn't work out, you can find somebody new. Well, it causes a lot of issues. You know, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are divorced right now and things like that. And it didn't work out. But you know, at some point somebody quit trying, and, you know, I agree with you. You have to fight. You have to fight really hard for love, and you have to fight for what's right. But it also stems and starts from going into the relationship and finding the person that you're actually meant to be with, right? And making sure you both have the same values and morals and the same structure.
Yeah, it does. And a lot of people think, you know, they get themselves in the mindset of, oh, it's perfect, it's perfect, it's perfect. Then they make one mistake and something happens and they go, well, that sucks. I guess I've screwed this up permanently. You're allowed to make mistakes. We're human. That's how it works. The difference between making a mistake and repetitively making a mistake is you can ask for forgiveness, right? But if you have an alcohol addiction and you drink and then, you know, you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh my gosh, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to do it. And then you do it again. Your first apology didn't really mean much.
Yeah.
You know, there is a difference between please forgive me, I won't do it again, and following through, and please forgive me, I won't do it again, and continuing that habit. Because forgiveness is only, you know, granted, it's only given with a sincere heart. And so I'm a big believer in forgive and forget for people's, if they make mistakes, if they do this, but you can't keep those mistakes around. You know, if you have a problem with alcohol, if you have a problem with smoking, if you have a problem with whatever it is, you can ask for forgiveness for making that mistake, but keeping a bottle in your cupboard is going to lead to the same mistake eventually happening again. You say, oh, well, the past is the past. Let it stay there. I agree, but don't bring the past with you any way, shape, or form. And a lot of people
There's so many people that you can lean on. I think it's really important that, you know, we find we have to be in community with each other. I think that's really important. That's what God wanted us to do. He wanted us to be in community with one another. And that means lifting each other up and being the wind under each other's wings. You know, all of us are going to fall at some point. We're going to have a low in our life. But having a trusted advisor, a trusted friend, a trusted somebody that is going to love you through it no matter what, to lean on. I think that's also extremely important. And, you know, I just commend you, Braden. I think you're an incredible young man. I think you have a lot to offer. Where can people follow you again? Tell them where they can follow you and any other projects or anything else that you want our audience to know.
Nothing else to share right now, but if people want to follow me on any and all of my socials, it's just Braden Sorbo, BraedenSorbo, because my parents had to be unique. But that's where you can get updates with everything I'm doing. I do a lot of fitness content. I'm a big advocate of mental as well as physical health. And so I post motivational and inspirational gym stuff. And so if people want, you know, motivation, getting back on their feet, working out, whatever it may be, they can come check me out there.
Oh, so among an author and other things, you also do fitness coaching.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You're very tall too. Most people can't tell by where you're at. How tall are you, Braden?
I'm 6'5".
6'5", yeah. I'm like, I was so small sitting because I'm 5'5". So you're like, you tower over me. Well, you know, it's really clear. You know, I think you're really well-grounded, Braden, and I think you have a lot to offer. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today. And your mom and your dad are just two incredible people. I can't wait. We're going to have your mom on my show. We're going to talk about the education because I think the education piece is really key. You know, a lot of people don't understand because, you know, some people have to work 2-3 jobs. And to homeschool, a lot of people think it's really complicated because they can't be home. A lot of parents can't be home with their children to homeschool, unfortunately. So I think I can't wait to have your mom on. There's a lot of solutions out there for parents to exit the school system because the school system, first and foremost, you're going to fail anyway, right? I mean, you look at the reading, writing, arithmetic skills, they're more interested in teaching how to, you know, have sexual immorality and CRT and be anti-American than they are of the core things you actually need to survive and be a thriving member of society. So I'm really excited to have your mom on as well. So please give your mom my best and tell her I look forward to talking to her soon and your dad as well. Thank you so much. Again, go to, what is the website? Tell them one more time.
SorboStudios.com.
SorboStudios.com. If you want to know more about this incredible young man, this incredible masculine young man, and I'm sorry, ladies, he's taken right now. So thank you very much, Braden. I cannot wait to have you on again for your next project. I'm going to have to get the boys a couple of your t-shirts, by the way.
Love it. All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. What an incredible, incredible young man. It gives me such great hope for the future. I hope his story and testimony inspired you today. We can learn. We can still learn from people who are younger than us. They have a different lens. They have a different insight, don't they? They see things sometimes that we don't see. I know I learn every day from my boys. They're incredible young men, but we have to engage. One of the problems with today's society is that we're not engaging the youth because we're either we don't know what to say to them, we don't know how to approach them. They might be a little hostile sometimes, a little angry, but at the end of the day, they just want love. They want to know that you actually care about them. Because right now, what's happening is in our school systems, they're getting affirmation from people who don't love them and care about them. They're getting affirmation from individuals who want to harm actually them mentally and physically at sometimes. And so parents and grandparents out there, aunts, uncles, whoever you are, mentor a child, love them, don't judge them. If they want to talk to you about whether it's alcohol, partying, sex, don't let anything be off the table. I pride myself in the fact that that was one of the things that my husband and I did with our boys. We would talk to them about everything and anything. No matter how comfortable the subject was for myself, it was never off the table. The other thing I would really recommend, and the pressure is going to be great, and they're going to yell at you, scream at you, stomp their feet, call you names, tell them you hate you, all of those things they're going to say to you. But you really do need to think about whether or not your children should have these electronic devices. My boys did not have any kind of even a cell phone. My boys did not have a cell phone until they were in 10th grade. 10th grade. They didn't have a cell phone. They got ridiculed. They got picked on by their friends. But you know what? They survived. You know what they tell me today? They said, "Mom, you know what? At the time, we didn't think so, but we are so thankful that you didn't let us have a cell phone until we were in 10th grade. We are so much more happy. Their social skills are so much better than most of the children because of this." They also were shielded from a lot of the garbage. They still got the garbage. They still found a way, to see the porn and all that through their friends. But they knew right and wrong because we always talked to them. We guided them through it. And that's what we have to do. That's all any of us can do. So anybody out there, please engage with those children. They're the next generation. They're the future of this country. Action Across America. Action Across America tour. I'm so excited. Please get the information. Email us at Women Fighting for America, Women Fighting for America at Proton, Proton, mail.com. Thank you, Bridie on TV, for hosting us today. Please go to the Bridie on store and use promo code WFFA. If you like this content, you want to keep us on the air, you need to go to Bridie on store, use promo code WFFA. That lets them know that you care enough about this programming to keep us on the air. Women Fighting for America at protonmail.com. Let us know you want to also be a part of the tour. We're coming to a city near you to train you. We have to have engagement on all levels. One of those training is going to be on education. How do you exit the school system when you can't afford private school? How can you exit the school system when you have to work jobs, maybe more than one, just to keep food on the table? We're going to tell you that. We're going to share that information with you. We're going to give you the tools you need to take back this country because together we are the answer. Please stop waiting for the government or somebody else to come and save this country or the next generation. The world is in your hands. What are you going to do with it? What you decide to do is how this world and America's outcome is going to be. There's a handful of us patriots who fight hard every single day, but we're few. We need many. Join the fight. Text fight to 9-1776. Text the word fight to 9-1776. It's right there on the screen. We need your time, talents, and treasures. I'm going to urge every one of you to join the challenge, the Patriot Challenge. $5 a month, $10 a month. Be a partner with us. We need your help financially to keep us on the front lines to fight for this country and the next generation. If you can afford more, if you can be a sponsor, please let us know. But it starts with you. You now know. What are you going to do about it? For evil to continue to prevail, good men and women will sit by and do nothing. So I'm challenging you to get into the fight today to save our country. Thank you so much for joining me today on the front lines with Christy Hutcherson. Until next week, God bless you and God bless the United States.